What is up, everyone? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by David Ungar here on this fine Kayfabe Tuesday, welcoming you into another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. The Four Corners Podcast is, of course, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot as well for all of your chair shot needs, chair shot swag needs. Like, you can't get everything, can't get it all, but you can get a lot. Dave, we didn't do a show last week. We sacrificed this show for the sake of keeping the bandwagon nerd streak alive. Glad we did it, but I gotta share. We're gonna talk. This is an exciting weekend. Baseball, playoff baseball is in full swing. We got Mark Sanchez getting arrested in what is quickly unfolding into a bonkers story. I haven't read a ton of that, but as that thing has unfolded, what a day. And then I thought, I was not looking forward to this week's show in our weekly college football talk, because I looked at the matchups ahead of time. I was like, you know, it's not really that exciting. Not that exciting of a day. These matchups aren't really the biggest highlight we have is Miami and Florida State. You know what college football said? College football said, no, you will pay attention to us. We're going to throw some crazy upsets at you and force you and Dave to talk about it. So we are definitely going to talk some college football today. Pro football, we're going to talk maybe a little bit about it. But ultimately the question right now is who's good? Because I don't know, there's who's good? That's the real question. We're still too early into the season, though. We are already, my Bears had a bye this week, so they didn't play. I'm not quite as
you guys are 500, man. You guys are 500.
You know what? It is. We'll start with pro football. We'll start with pro football, Mark Sanchez and all of that glory. Yes, my Bears are 500, which, all things considered, after the debacle against Minnesota, followed by the debacle against Green Bay, I can't be mad. You beat the Cowboys.
Soundly.
Yes, soundly. Like, Dallas, I don't know how, we're recording this on a Sunday, so who knows how it's going to go for the Cowboys.
Guys,
we won't know the results.
Your guys showed a lot of moxie against the Raiders, because they probably should have lost that game, and they didn't.
Absolutely should have. Did the Bears win that game, or did the Raiders lose it? That's the real question. Blocking
yes.
a field
yes.
goal to win the game was wonderful. Here's the thing. The Bears, for all these weapons, they have all these weapons, and they still don't have an offensive line to write home around. Real problem. The defense is not good enough to be anything more. The Bears are well on track to their middling. We're gonna be happy to be happy. And that's just how it's gonna be. You know, I think I have to walk backwards a little bit on my assessment of the Kansas City Chiefs. Teams that I thought, well, until they lose, are they bad? And question might be that they're not that good, the time has got them, because they just, even in winning, they haven't looked impressive. You know, Travis Kelce looks old. Patrick Mahomes doesn't look quite as spry as he used to. And I mean, that's the inevitability of it all. And the weapons just haven't weaponed enough.
Yeah. The Chiefs are, they're going to be obviously there at the end, because until you dethrone the king, it's still, what you're dealing with. And the Chargers are, of course, inconsistent. And I'm hoping they are inconsistent this afternoon against my Commanders. That would be nice. Denver's probably the team Kansas City needs to watch out for the most. And speaking of, Denver's got a big test today, because like you were saying earlier, who's good, who's not. The Philadelphia Eagles are damn good. I think that is, I say that, and even then, they're winning, and every game has been like a one-score game, so they're not blowing people out of the stadium.
Right.
And I think what A.J. Brown is bitching and complaining about, or one of their receivers, I tune out the Eagles as much as I can, but at my own demise sort of thing. But Denver's got a big opportunity to kind of step forward and take down the Eagles. I know it's in Philly today. That would be a big, Bo Nix will have a real stern test to see kind of where he is at this point in time. But I think if I'm looking at this, I think in the NFC, Philadelphia, and as a couple weeks ago, man, we thought the Packers were world beaters. That's not
right.
The case
and now
anymore.
I'm like thoroughly confused. I wish we had our friend PC Tunney on here. Not because I want to rub it in his face, and I think that's hard when we're talking sports to talk with fans. I did not text him or reach out to him after the Packers lost. I did.
He must have been. Well, I mean, it wasn't even a loss. It was a tie. That's even worse.
Right. You know, it's like kissing your sister. Like, what the hell?
40-40 tie with the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys aren't good.
No, well, the Cowboys, they're poorly coached. Like, that's my thing. And Jerry Jones is a problem. Like, as long as Jerry Jones calls the shots, he's the Al Davis of football. For those of you who don't know Al Davis, the infamous owner of the Raiders who had success in the 70s and hung on too long and didn't move along with the rest of the game. And this is the same thing that happened to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, great owner in the 90s, early 90s, those Dallas Cowboy teams with Aikman and Irvin and Dion and Emmitt Smith, all those players, Hall of Famers up and down the roster, great teams, good coaches. You know, Jimmy Johnson was a good coach. Barry Switzer, he won, but I don't think he was a great coach. I think he won because of the talent he had, not because of what he built. But Jerry Jones, he's stuck in the mud and does not see modern football the way that modern football is today. And that's the other thing about this game, and this is what's beautiful about pro football, is teams adjust and start and close the gap. And so to bring this full circle back to the Chiefs, and even to an extent to the Eagles, other than everybody bitching about the tush push, which do the tush push too. Like, just do it like the Eagles do. Stop bitching about how they do it and do it the way they do it.
Did you see what they pulled last week?
I did not.
In the game against Tampa? They faked the tush push. Everybody collapsed and Saquon just took the hand off and went around the side untouched. Everybody's in the middle. And now you've got another element to worry about here for if you're playing the Eagles. Is it the tush push?
That's good coaching.
Is Hurts going to bootleg this thing out? Are they going to run some fucking option play? It's like,
that's good coaching.
That is
staying ahead of the curve, because that's the thing about the NFL that happens is that teams adjust, leagues adjust. And that's what's happened to the Chiefs is teams have adjusted. And when that happens, like you either evolve with it, and kudos to Andy Reid, because it worked for a really long time. But as you get older and teams adjust to what you're doing, suddenly it's not as easy to win. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were special together until they weren't, you know, because teams adjust. And that's what we're seeing here. And so I go back to the question. I think the Eagles are good. I think the Bills are good.
Yes.
But I don't know how good. They're probably going to, I want to say they're going to mollywop the Patriots this evening, but you never know, because the Patriots I don't think are good at all. I also don't think they're as bad as people think they are, but they're not good.
Until they beat the Chiefs when it counts, they're just the Bills. And that's the best thing you could say about them. It could be this year. I agree with you, the Bills and the Eagles. Detroit is another team that, yes, they had that clunker of an opener against the Packers.
But they kind of came around. Yeah.
They look like the Detroit Lions since then. And so do not sleep on them. They're going to be a major problem this year. Speaking of our friends and teams that are struggling, man. The Baltimore Ravens and our friend Ray Cash.
They're a fucking mash unit right now, too. Like, they're so banged up and so hurt. Them and the 49ers with their injury, and kudos to the Niners, by the way, pulling off
the Rams.
Their victory over the Rams with the lack of weapons they had going. Like, that's impressive. But, yeah, at the end of the day, like, they're so beat up. They're so depleted. And you know what? Everybody has injuries. But to be this early in the season and just going down the depth chart, like when you're playing second, third string guys across the lineup, there's only so much Lamar can do. And what's unfortunate is that Lamar takes the blame, right? Like, because ultimately when teams struggle, two guys a lot of times get blamed, the head coach and quarterback. And even if the quarterback's playing well, but the team is losing, what's wrong with your quarterback?
And it, you know, to be clear, it was not Lamar who lost that game against the Bills. Derrick Henry's the one who put the ball on the ground and let Buffalo back in that game. Derrick Henry had another critical fumble in I think, the game against Cleveland, where they had they beat Cleveland. They lost. I'm trying to remember Baltimore's schedule, but I don't think it was the Bengals. I don't know. I know they're 1-3. I think they're the Ravens right now. But yeah, I mean, when Derrick Henry of all people is fumbling the ball, you know, that's something you got to be concerned about, because Derrick Henry is one of the most sure-handed running backs in the league. And when that's happening, you're letting other teams. I mean, Baltimore, you know, are they still a playoff caliber team? I'd say so if Lamar's healthy. But you know, you're talking about
They lost to Detroit and Kansas City.
Yes, right, right. I mean, no, you know, and that's okay if you're losing to, no shame in losing to the two teams that might meet in the Super Bowl. So that's okay. I think
maybe
Baltimore's going to right the ship and probably get a playoff berth out of this thing. But you're talking about teams that other teams are starting to figure out. Baltimore is one of those teams that other teams are starting to kind of figure out how to best to play Lamar. And they're at a point like, yeah, you can't make mistakes. And when you have to play mistake-free football every week, that catches up with you sooner or later.
Cool. Yeah, it's been a tough go. I feel for Ray. I feel for all our friends. Like, as a fan of a team that never has expectations, sometimes you enjoy sports a little bit more, because you don't go into games being like, we expect better. Like when the Bears bear, like when the Bears just do bear things, we're like, eh, we're the Bears. It's what we do. It's so Bears.
Yeah. I hear you. Like on my end with the Commanders this week, you know, and there's high expectations for us this year. There's no doubt about that. But
because you exceeded expectations last year.
Right, right. And I think the big thing I've seen in the last couple of days that I'm kind of like shaking my head about are the belief that Jaden Daniels is being rushed back to the field, and that the comparisons to RG3 are flying around out there. And I'm like, he's been medically cleared. The fact that he's wearing a knee brace does not necessarily mean that he's not healthy. He's been medically cleared. He's taken 2 weeks off. I mean, would I be upset if Mariota started against the Chargers? No, because it's not Marcus's fault we lost to Atlanta, because our Swiss cheese frickin' defense couldn't stop anybody. But the notion that they're just trudging Marcus out there, or excuse me, Jaden out there to get, you know, injured and be ruined like RG3, it's preposterous at this point. It's like, this is not,
very much so.
It's not Mike Shanahan saying it. It's not a playoff game. It's not. I'm like, I hope he's okay. I think he'll be fine. I'm not expecting great things today because the Chargers were embarrassed last week, but we'll see.
That's fair. All right, well, let's shift gears. We're going to head over to the college football side of things. I'm kidding, kids. We're not going to talk about Mark Sanchez. Like, that dumbass story. I just wanted to make some jokes.
When we first, okay, I won't go there. But yeah, he's a dumbass.
We first thought he got stabbed. Oh my God, what happened? Then it turns out that he was an aggressor in an alleyway to a truck driver. So, and the truck driver is claiming self-defense. That's the story. Mark Sanchez is likely to be out of a job with CBS or Fox or whoever he's currently working for. I don't remember. It's not worth our time. What I do want to shift to is college football, because as I mentioned, so I was really sad last week, legitimately, to not talk about the week that was in college football, because there were so many great matchups to fall. You know, you had Georgia and Alabama. That was a terrific game. You had Penn State and Oregon. Like, we had marquee, like, top of the line, like, the appointment television games to watch that evening, and the games delivered just bangers. And so coming into this week, I'm like, what do we got here? Well, okay, so we got Alabama and Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia, 30-year-old Diego Pavia, who just refuses to leave college, is talking trash about how they're going to go into Tuscaloosa and they're going to beat Bama. Maybe that's a thing that could happen. Maybe it won't. And we had Miami and Florida State. Like, those look like the two marquee games. And then UCLA and Penn State happened. And then Texas and Florida happened. And coming out of those games, both of those games, UCLA shocking the world. There was no reason at all to believe that Nico, I can't pronounce your last name, for UCLA, was going to lead a team with an interim head coach, with the younger Neuheisel calling his first major game as an offensive coordinator, against a Penn State defense that, regardless of how you felt about the Penn State offense, was going to keep them in a game and win it for them, and probably thoroughly dominate a UCLA team that has been a shit show. To come out and to take like a 24-7 lead on the Nittany Lions, and to see that offense for Penn State struggle for three quarters before trying to turn it on late, and UCLA getting a massive fourth down stop with Penn State driving to try and tie the game after a very questionable fourth down play call by UCLA, like a one that like everybody in the building knew Nico was going to try to run that football, and that thing was dead on arrival. Like, talk about a time to maybe try and be cute and get like a screen pass or something. They just didn't. UCLA's defense holds as Drew Aller tries to run the football himself. I think thinking that maybe UCLA would follow the slot wide receiver coming across the front or the running back, and they did not. The UCLA defense was disciplined, wrapped him up, fourth down stop, three plays and a safety later, and then Penn State gets the ball with about 30 or so seconds, because for some reason they didn't have it in their head that the punter was going to hold the ball as long as he couldn't take the safety. Like they went into coverage to run a punt. James Franklin, his seat is red hot now, red on fire. His pants are on fire, and they should be, because was coaching malpractice in the fourth.
Yeah, I remember I messaged you yesterday when this was going down. And I think I said to you, hey, PSU might be in a little bit of trouble here. And I thought, well, you know, it'll turn around like it usually does. But it did for a little while. But credit to UCLA, 24.5-point underdogs. You have a 27-7 lead at the half. It goes away. And yet they still come back and they end up winning this game. I agree with you. Franklin's seat has got to be absolutely scorching right now.
This was supposed to be the year for Penn State. They have all this talent came back. Franklin has always had the moniker of can't win the big game. And it happened again last week. Drew Aller, it was an overtime game. It was a double overtime game. It was a phenomenal game. But Oregon controlled that game for three quarters, and Penn State found some offense late to force the tie. And then Oregon's defense, that linebacker, former Purdue linebacker, dropping into zone coverage to pick Drew Aller to seal the game for Oregon that week. And then to come back this week and just have this hangover game that you just can't have. Like, if you're the team you think you are, you go in and you thump the shit out of a UCLA that is in disarray. And what happens in games like that is UCLA was given a reason to believe. And when you give teams that aren't supposed to believe a reason to believe, that can spell danger. And in this case, it did. UCLA gets the win. Good job, because people didn't think they were going to win a game all year. They lost to Northwestern. UCLA lost to Northwestern. And most people were you, Dave. So you have that game where we're going to talk about the other side of this in a second. And then you have Texas and Florida, where, again, they lost by a little more than a touchdown. So in the grand scheme of the college football playoff, tell myself this shit isn't real story. Like, maybe you convince yourself. But if you watch that game, Florida controlled that game. Florida's defense controlled that game from the outset. They, like even when they were down 8, I never had a doubt that Florida was going to hold them off and win it, because, and this is the other part of it, Drew Aller and Arch Manning are good, not great quarterbacks. And good, not great quarterbacks don't always win games they need to win. And next week, I'm very interested in the Red River rivalry game. We're number 5 Oklahoma, according to the latest coaches poll that came out right before we started, is taking on a number 20, I want to say, Texas, because we're just keeping Texas hasn't beaten a Power 4 team yet, but we're keeping them in the polls because they're Texas and Arch Manning is your quarterback. If Oklahoma wins that game, which, to be fair, we should expect that there will not be a starting quarterback. Like, that's already been said out the gate. Is it Oklahoma's quarterback? I'm losing his name right now. He's head coach is saying he's out, like that he does not expect him to play next week. But Oklahoma has been solid. I don't know if they're for real. I don't know if they're really the number 5 team in the country. I think there are only 3 teams right now that I would are quote unquote for real. I think that is Oregon, Ohio State, and Miami, because Miami controlled Florida State. Again, Florida State made a run late, but they were not in the same ballpark as Miami dominated that game. But I do not think I don't believe in Drew Aller. I don't believe in Arch Manning. You know, in fairness to Arch, he's a sophomore, so he's got time to develop and grow. And maybe by the time he's a senior, he's the Arch Manning that everybody was talking about for Heisman now. But he could also just be Drew Aller, who we have been saying, who people have been saying for 3 years now is the guy, like that he's the great Penn State quarterback. He's not. And at some point you have to look at Drew Aller and be like, you're going to be a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Best.
At so, best.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Oregon and Ohio State seem to be the best. Miami too. Like you're saying, Miami really looks good.
And then there's a lot of maybes. There's
a lot of movement. Like, yeah.
I think I'm gonna double down today again on Indiana. I think Indiana is the number three team in the Big Ten. I think they're about a number six, or they're ranked currently, Coaches Poll again, I think ranked number seven. I think that's about right. I think Alabama looks a lot better than we give them credit for. I don't know what to make of Georgia. Or Texas. No. Like there's this tier of Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M. And Ole Miss. Ole Miss is another. This could be the year that Lane Kiffin finally makes the college football playoff and makes a little hay. They don't have a, they have a soft schedule the rest of the way. But there's these SEC teams, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Georgia. Don't know who they are, where they lie. All of them right now making a pretty strong case to make the college football playoff alongside, you know, as SEC teams.
Hey, man, I just realized your Illini, 5-1.
They are 5-1.
They're now ranked. They're ranked ahead of Penn State now.
Right. It's they beat a Purdue team that's not very good. I think that next week they again College Game Day is coming back to Champaign because we're hosting Ohio State, and I think Ohio State takes care of business. Like God, please just don't roll them the way that Indiana rolled us. I'm looking forward to Indiana going to State College. That game, I think Indiana is a better team. I think that their offense can score on Penn State's defense. And I just don't know that Penn State has a team and has a guy at quarterback that can make the difference. So a lot of exciting stuff. We need to take a commercial break though, Dave. I want to wrap up the show talking playoff baseball, talk some predictions though. My World Series prediction already taken a hit after one day of divisional playoffs. So we'll talk about that and more when we come back. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel. Points TC.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, talking all things sports. We talked football in the first segment. We're going to talk playoff baseball because we are in the divisional series round now, and I like all four of these matchups. These are matchups that I kind of make sense. We had our first round of games on Saturday. I need to understand why every major sport except for the NFL has not figured out how to put their playoffs in the best position for people to watch their games. Because Friday night, when you got nothing to really compete against, not a single playoff baseball game because of the way your divisional or the way your wild card 3-game series were set up. And to have you had four games of baseball yesterday that you know, the college football slate wasn't particularly sexy on Saturday, but it was still sexy enough that I'm sure it pulled away. And you had some games that were not interesting. So let's start with that. So we got the Brewers and the Cubs, which I think is just a fantastic regional series to follow up on. PC Tunney's Brewers. You've got the Dodgers and the Phillies, the marquee matchup in the National League side. So just fun stuff there. And then we flipped the script over. We got the Blue Jays taking on the Yankees in an American League East showdown where the Yankee, you know, where the Blue Jays have been the leaders of the American League East for most of the season and nobody's talked about them. And then you have the Mariners taking on,
The Detroit Tigers. Yeah.
In what is a fun series playing over in Detroit. And so I'll get this out of the way. I have gone on record to a lot of people not on the show of saying that I think that this will be a Phillies Mariners World Series.
Wow. Now,
I know, right?
That'd be cool because it's the Mariners have never even been to the series before, I don't think.
The Mariners have never been to the World Series and the Brewers have never won, or not the Brewers, and the Phillies are a top team. And here's the thing is for the Mariners, just think how cool it would be if the Mariners make the World Series and you have first pitches thrown out by Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, Ichiro Suzuki, and then, I don't know, Jay Buhner or Alex Rodriguez. Even, which would be even funnier. Though I think it should be Jay Buhner because Buhner is more of a Mariner than anybody, maybe outside of Ichiro. Like Buhner, like he was the guy. I loved him almost more than I loved Griffey in those lineups with that murderer's row that they had there. Unfortunately, right out the gate, you know, the Dodgers get a 3-run homer to take a win over my pick of the Phillies, and then I do believe the Tigers end up losing to Seattle.
The Tigers won. They won. Seattle won it.
I knew it went to extra innings. It was quite a game. My internet is loading very very slowly, so I'm not getting good scores.
I could tell you because I know the Brewers dismantled the Cubs.
Oh yeah, no. I knew that the Brewers took care of business against the Cubs, and the Yankees got crushed by Toronto. Like it was brutal. It was 10-1. So
it was, but sorry, go ahead, man. I watched some of the Toronto. So the Toronto Yankees game was close until Toronto broke it open in like the sixth inning. And I gotta say, man, the atmosphere in Toronto is so electric for that team right now. Like this, it feels like 93 all over again. Like, where's Joe Carter at? That sort of thing. Because George Springer has been a huge addition to the Blue. I almost said Maple Leafs. They can only wish that they would be as good as the Blue Jays are.
Right.
But that's gonna. And I love the fact that at least two of these series are these divisional rivals who are so familiar with each other, Yankees, Blue Jays, who, like, Toronto won a tiebreaker to win the East this year. That's how close these two teams were. I mean, the Brewers didn't have much trouble winning the Central, that sort of thing. But you throw all that stuff out the window when it's these divisional rivals. But
well, the Brewers went way. So the Brewers were like way out in front, and then sort of fell back to earth. I asked Tunney about them because he's a Brewers fan, you know, he's a Wisconsin guy. And I asked him, I was like, is there any reason I shouldn't believe in the Brewers to at least the NLCS? And he was like, it really comes down to how our offense performs and how they hit. And they did. It was funny. The Cubs come out first batter, home run, you know, and there's a strong Chicago contingent in Milwaukee, like at that game. So place goes bonkers. And the Brewers merely respond with 6 runs because the Cubs, and this is the thing, you know, the Cubs went and got Craig Counsell as a manager, and people thought that was a big deal. And they made the dubious choice to start a guy who's coming back from Tommy John surgery on short rest to kick off this series as their best pitcher. And it just, like, nothing against Bates, but, like, why? I don't think that was a wise decision, you know. And then over on the other side, like, Shohei Ohtani was fine, but he wasn't amazing on the hill. He gave up 3 runs. And again, this is the thing that I love about playoff baseball. When you talk about a team opening up the floodgates, is that it's so much about managing your pitching. It's so much about when are you pulling a guy versus when are you keeping him in. And, you know, the Yankees bullpen could not get it done. And frankly, like, you got to have a short hook. And that's not to say anything against Hernandez, because he was kind of cruising. He pitched five and two thirds strong innings, and then, you know, he got in trouble. And the first, you know, and Ohtani doesn't get the big home run, but the next hitter did, and the ho hum, the Dodgers win the series. So we only got a couple minutes left in this show, so I know we can't do much. Make your World Series picks, because I'm going to stick to my guns and say I'm still going to pull for a Phillies Mariners World Series.
I would say I can't pull for the Phillies because, you know, Nationals fans can't root for Phillies. But I would say, just based off what I've seen, I like a Dodgers-Tigers World Series right now. And I'll tell you, and that's not a knock on the Brewers, but I think the Dodgers are one of these teams, like we talked about that with the Chiefs. Until you can beat the Kings, then, you know, you haven't accomplished anything. And the Dodgers are one of these teams who they seem, you know, did they stagger down the stretch? Yes. Was it boredom? Were they just gearing up for the playoffs? I don't know. But they're one of these teams that just seems like they can turn it on when they need to. They did it last year. You saw it in game one against the Phillies. Phillies are a damn good team. I like the Dodgers in the National League, though, just because they're the Dodgers and there's so much talent. How do you pick against them? Detroit, the reason I'm going with Detroit is, yes, I mean, if you're talking about teams that swoon down the stretch, there is no bigger swooning than the Tigers. But they seem that they got into the playoffs by a tiebreaker over the Astros. Once you're in, we've seen this, we see it in hockey, we see it in all the other sports. Once you're in, all bets are off. And now the Tigers look like the team that surged to that 15.5 game lead on Cleveland early in the year. And then it just went on cruise control and could never get it back together. Now they seem to be the Tigers that they were earlier in the year. I would love for Seattle to pull off this, like you're talking about, Pat, and be the first, for the first time in Mariners history, to get there. I just like the Tigers right now. But
so that's fine. You're the king of prisoner of the moment, though. You give up on a team when they lose a game. So when the Mariners win the next two, you're going to be done on the Tigers. It'll be funny.
Maybe.
All right. We got another podcast to go, so we got to get out of here. We will obviously be continuing to talk about all of the fall sports. Hockey starts next week. Later this week. Actually. So it's going to be
tomorrow.
It's going to be a lot of chat. Yeah. As this podcast drops, hockey will be getting played. So look for all of that. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Oh, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG on Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, over on Instagram and on Threads.
And you can follow me on all of the social medias at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can listen to me on the Chair Shot Radio Network every Monday, Tuesday, and occasional Wednesday. Mondays talking nerdy stuff with Dave and a cavalcade of others. Tuesdays talking sports here on the Four Corners Podcast. And Wednesdays talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco on the Greg DeMarco Show when we feel like it. All right, everyone, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to catching you all next week. This has been a lot of fun, Dave. Playoff baseball, the way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And we are going to cover it here. You've been listening to Four Corners Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the Chair Shot.